Welcome to Torah Yomecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhaft, and today we will be learning Parshat Devarim. Sefer Devarim, the Book of Devarim, is called Mishneh Torah, Repetition of the Law, by the rabbis in the Talmud in Megillah 31b. It is also known by the name Deuteronomy, which comes from the Greek word deuteros, second, and nomos, law, and reflects the same meaning. There's a good reason for calling Devarim Mishneh Torah, because the Sefer mainly reviews mitzvot, commandments, and events from the earlier books. Rav Adin Steinsaltz in the Steinsaltz Chumash points out, though, there's no section of the Book of Devarim that does not contain some novelty, large or small, when compared to the corresponding passage in a previous book. Sefer Devarim breaks from the pattern established in the previous three books in the Torah. Sefer Shmot, Sefer Vayikra, and Sefer Bamidbar all start with the conjunctive letter Vav. Ve'ele Shmot, these are the names, Vayikra, he called, Vayidaber Hashem, Hashem spoke. The Vav is the Vav HaChibur, which is the Hebrew letter Vav when it functions as the word and. It is attached as a prefix to the beginning of a word to connect it to the previous word or phrase. This suggests that the first four books of the Torah are connected one to another and form a single, continuous narrative, linking each book to its predecessor and emphasizing that the Torah's story unfolds as one continuous account. Sefer Devarim does not begin with a conjunctive of. Instead, it opens with Ele Hadvarim Asher Diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke, signaling that it is a distinct work. There is another contrast between Sefer Devarim and the other books. They are written from the point of view of an anonymous narrator. The words of Hashem, the statements of the various characters, including Moshe, are written in the third person. As Chazal, the sages, stated, Shechina medaberet mitoch grono shel Moshe. The divine presence speaks through Moshe's throat. When Moshe taught Torah or transmitted Hashem's words, he was not expressing his own independent ideas, but serving as a perfect conduit for the divine word. In the first four books of the Torah, Moshe is the medium through which Hashem addresses the people. Moshe serves in the role of Navi, prophet, repeating verbatim what God told him. Devarim has a unique literary character. Moshe speaks in first person. He himself is the narrator. So, for example, the phrase, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, does not appear anywhere in Sefer Devarim. In fact, our rabbi stated in the Gemara Megillah that Moshe mipi atzmo amaran, Moshe said them on his own. The Ramban, Nachmanides, understands this to mean that Moshe, on his own initiative, thought it appropriate to explain the Torah to the people, although Hashem had not explicitly commanded him to do so. How are we to understand this statement that Moshe said the Sefer on his own? One might question the sanctity and authority of Sefer Devarim. The Gur Aryeh in Devarim 28:23 explained, Ein ha-perush Moshe mipi atzmo, belo ha-kadosh baruch hu, sh'af davar echad, lo amar Moshe mipi atzmo, ela ki Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom haya omer, va-kadosh baruch hu hiskim al yado. The expression Moshe spoke on his own does not mean that Moshe spoke independently of the Holy One, blessed be he, for Moshe did not utter even a single word on his own initiative. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu, peace be upon him, spoke, and the Holy One, blessed be he, affirmed and endorsed his words. There is a halachic legal implication in this special status of Sefer Devarim. The Gemara in Yevamot 4a teaches the concept that Darshinan Smuchim b'Mishneh Torah. We derive laws from juxtaposition in Mishneh Torah. That even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who does not generally derive meaningful interpretations from verses placed in proximity one to the other, nevertheless, he does derive them from Mishneh Torah. The principle is based on the idea that the placement of passages in the Torah is intentional. When two topics appear next to one another, Chazal understood that their proximity may reveal a legal or conceptual connection that is not stated explicitly. In other words, the Torah teaches not only through what it says, but also through where it says it. According to the Gemara, even though sages who generally do not derive laws from the juxtaposition of verses agree that this method does apply in Sefer Dvarim, since Moshe intentionally arranged and presented the material in his farewell addresses, the placement of passages is understood to reflect purposeful connections that can serve as a basis for legal interpretation. Sefer Dvarim contains three main speeches that took place a few weeks before the end of Moshe's life. It is a farewell that Moshe delivered in the presence of all of the children of Israel. In the first speech, Moshe rebukes the people while reviewing the various events in the history of the nation from Yetziat Mitzrayim, the departure from Egypt, to the present day. The second speech presents various mitzvot. The third speech deals with the brit, covenant, between Hashem and Israel. The Sefer concludes in third person with the death and burial of Moshe. Our Parsha, Parsha Devarim, comprises three prakim, chapters, of the first speech. Moshe began on Aleph Shvat, the first of the month of Shvat, in the 40th year, which means that the entire Sefer Devarim took place over the course of 5 weeks, since Moshe died on Zion Adar, the seventh of the month of Adar. Moshe explains that Bnei Israel's journey to Eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan, should have taken 11 days, but it was extended due to their fear of entering the land. Eventually, Hashem decreed that they must wander in the wilderness until the generation that left Egypt died out. There were those who attempted to enter the land afterward without permission to do so and were killed in battle. In recounting the nation's journey, Moshe briefly mentions how he appointed judges to share the burden of leadership, instructing them to carry out their responsibilities with fairness, without bias, and with a commitment to justice. Moshe was primarily addressing a generation that had not personally experienced these events. Only the very elderly among his audience would have been old enough to remember them firsthand. The men who were between the ages of 20 and 60 at the time of the sin of the spies had been sentenced to die in the wilderness, leaving only the elderly, the tribe of Levi, and the women as those who would have directly witnessed those events. Moshe then continues to summarize the past, turning to recent events that most of the audience would remember. Refraining from fighting against nations that are considered family relations of the children of Israel, namely Edom, the descendants of Esav, Ammon and Moab, the descendants of Noach, as well as the military victories over the two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og. Toward the end of the Parsha, Moshe describes how he apportioned the land on the eastern side of the Jordan, the Jordan River, to certain tribes and families. Then he encouraged Yoshua for the upcoming conquest of the territory on the western side of the Jordan. Rabbi Steinsaltz wrote that the words of encouragement took on new meaning in light of recent events. Although Moshe took Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim and led them through the Midbar wilderness for many years, his comments gain extra credibility from the recent conquest of two powerful kings and his division of land to a portion of the nation. Even if the full vision for the future has yet to be realized, Moshe had fulfilled part of it already. Consequently, he emphasized the details of his military victories, as well as the conquest of the region and its settlement as a model for the nation's wars in the future after it crosses the Jordan, the Jordan River. Overall, Moshe is not just reiterating facts and history, but inserted into his speech moral messages that one should learn from them. In Devarim Rabbah, Rabbi Acha bar Rabbi Chanina said, it would have been appropriate for the tochachot, rebukes, to have been said by Bilam, and the brachot, blessings, by Moshe. But had Bilam rebuked them, Bnei Israel would have said, one who hates us is rebuking us. Had Moshe blessed them, the nations of the world would have said, one who loves them is blessing them. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, let Moshe, who loves them, rebuke them, and let Bilam, who hates them, bless them, so that the blessing and the rebukes will be unequivocally received by Bnei Israel. The first pasuk verse states, Eile hadvarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael be'ever hayardein, b'amidbar, b'arava, mol suf, ben paran, uben tofel v'lavan, v'chatzerot v'di zahav. These are the words that Moshe addressed to all Israel on the other side of the Jordan, through the wilderness in the Arava near Suf, between Paran and Tofel, Lavan, Chatzerot, and di zahav. According to the plain meaning of the pasuk, the places serve to pinpoint the precise locations where Moshe spoke. Rashi understood it differently. Moshe is enumerating all the places where they provoked God to anger. Therefore, he suppresses all mentions of the matters in which they sinned and refers to them only by a mere allusion contained in the names of the places out of regard for Israel. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, asked in his book Sichot Moser, Ethical Discourses, in a lecture in 1972, would it not have been more effective to state the sins explicitly? He explained that Moshe chose this method to preserve the dignity of the nation. If he had listed their sins, they would have been ashamed and embarrassed. The consideration of kavod habriyot, preserving the dignity of the human being, demands that he soften the reproof, even if it means that it would be less effective. In fact, in the middle of his critique, Moshe inserted a bracha, Hashem Elokei Avotechem Yosef Aleichem Kachem, Elef Pa'amim, V'yivarechotchem Kasher Diber Lechem. May the Eternal, the God of your ancestors, increase your numbers a thousandfold and bless you as promised. The word Kachem, which literally means similar to you, is noteworthy. Moshe wanted to assure Bnei Israel that he did not think poorly of them. Rather, he wished that they multiply and their children would be kachem, just like them. Despite their past sins and bad behavior, Moshe respected and admired them. In an essay offering several strategies for providing proper rebuke, Rabbi Baruch Simon, a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University, in his Sefer Imrei Baruch, quotes the Shlach HaKadosh, Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz, who adds an important insight. Moshe spoke of the wise, discerning, and known leaders amongst Bnei Israel. The Shlach argued that while providing the rebuke, Moshe was careful to build up the people's self-esteem and self-respect to include those accolades. In Mishlei, Proverbs, it says, Al techach leitz pen yisanecha, hochach lechacham v'yavecha. Do not rebuke scoffers, for they will hate you. Reprove the wise, and they will love you. The Shlach explains the pasuk to mean that the person doing the rebuking should not consider the other person to be a scoffer. If he does so, he will not be successful. Rather, if the person giving the rebuke relates to the other person as if they were already wise and discerning, then the rebuke will be effective. Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Shiftman writes in his book, Psyched for Torah, that Moshe interacted with Bnei Israel with unconditional positive regard. Unconditional positive regard is a concept developed by the psychologist Carl Rogers. It refers to accepting and valuing a person without making that acceptance dependent on their behavior, performance, or choices. It does not mean approving of everything someone does or lowering expectations. Rather, it means separating the person's inherent worth from their actions. There was a lot to critique about Bnei Israel's behavior, but Moshe went out of his way to accept them for who they were. We can learn a lot from Moshe. In every conversation, our words have the power either to affirm another person's dignity or to diminish it. Kindness is not only about being polite. It is about protecting another human being's sense of dignity. When people feel respected and valued, they are more likely to listen with an open heart. Every interaction leaves an impression. The way we speak to others can make them feel seen, respected, and valued, or dismissed and diminished. When people feel their dignity is preserved, they are far more open to hearing what we have to say. Have a good Shabbos.